Have you ever met someone that seemed that they were just perfectly positioned for success? I mean, I'm talking about the person that it seemed they grew up in the perfect situation. And no matter what they wanted to try to accomplish in life, it almost seemed like there was no way they wouldn't be able to do it. I mean, they had everything stacked in their favor. And it just seems that for them not to accomplish what they wanted to do would be like unthinkable. It's like that, you know, that one child whose father was like a professional athlete, and you looked at them and they seemed like they got every physical attribute that he had. Or it's that one child, you know, who grew up and their parents were rich, and it seemed that they were going to have their pick of college because money really was not going to be any problem at all. Or you had that one child whose parents were pastors and maybe even their grandparents, and it seemed that in just growing up in that house, they were going to have more Bible knowledge than you were going to have in your entire lifetime. I mean, for that one child to not make the baseball team, that would be unthinkable. Matter of fact, that was going to be an all-star. I mean, for that one child to end up at a community college, no, that was unthinkable. I mean, anything below Ivy League would just seem ridiculous. I mean, for that one child, for them not to, you know, have a strong, solid relationship with God? Well, of course they would. I mean, they would be better prepared to deal with any of the temptations that this world would throw at them. And honestly, that's what we would have expected from Samson. Let me read two verses from last week when we were in Judges 13. So Judges 13, verses 24 and 25, it says, "And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahanadan, between Zorah and Ashtol." And those are tongue twisters. Now, you got to remember, based on what we read here, Samson was the prophesied one. I mean, he was immediately, from birth, set apart to live a life as a Nazarite. I mean, the Bible says that God blessed him. Even early in his life, it says the Holy Spirit began to stir him. What that means is the Bible is what the Holy Spirit actually began to move him, began to direct him. I mean, is there any way to be better set up for success? I mean, that's what we want in our life. I mean, how awesome would it be if God one day prophesied that you were going to be born? And not only were you going to be born, but you are going to start the process of freeing your nation, of saving it. I mean, he was blessed by God. He had the Holy Spirit directing him. I mean, sign me up for that. That's what I want in my life. And that's how Samson started. I mean, he was set apart by God. He was protected from things that could potentially hurt him or distract him. He would easily be identified by other people as one who is dedicated to just serving God. He had parents who were praying, "God, give us the wisdom on how to raise him the right way." There was, remember, we read nothing that would have told us anything that could have stopped him from accomplishing everything God had for him to do. What we'll also learn, though, is that every single one of us have that exact same potential inside of us. We have, you know, inside of us, God's given ability and power. I mean, whether we grew up in a great house or whether we grew up in one of the worst houses, we have what we need in order to accomplish God's purpose. And what we'll learn, as we were learning last week, is either we will willingly participate in accomplishing that, or we will unwillingly participate in accomplishing that. Either way, God's plan is going to happen. We get to decide if we hear, "Well done, good and faithful," or if we hear, "You wicked and slothful servant." Either way, we're servants. Either way, God's plan will happen. We can't stop God's plan. Nothing can stop God's plan from happening. But what we'll learn is that there are blessings for following God's plan. But we'll also learn that there are times of trouble and pain when we decide not to obey what God asks us to do. Now today, we're going to see how Samson approached life. And he had certain attitudes that he had which led him to certain choices. They weren't good choices. But see, God was still able to use him. Because like I said, God's plan always happens. Now, we're going to start in the book of Judges chapter 14 this morning. Judges 14, starting in verse 1, it says, Samson went down to Timnah. And at Timnah, he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, let me give you an important word of advice here. Stay away from Timnah. Now, Timnah, it's actually a border town in the Philistine Empire. It's about 3 miles from where Samson grew up. And there was absolutely no reason for Samson to be down there. I mean, why was he there? I can promise you that he did not hear a voice from God saying, Samson, go down to Timnah. I can also promise you that Samson wasn't even asking God, God, where would you like me to go this morning? See, if you can't ask someone for directions, it becomes really hard to follow them. Now, verse 2, it says, then he came up and told his father and mother, I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. Now here we see the first attitude that Samson had that actually made him an unwilling servant. It was lust. Now lust is defined as intense sexual desire. It isn't based on loving someone or a commitment, but it is purely based on your own personal pleasure and desire. I mean, it's basically you saying, I want it. God's not involved at all. I mean, there's no prayer for direction. There's no Holy Spirit stirring you and leading you. You're basically allowing your emotions and your passions to lead you. And if you think about it, that's the world we live in today, isn't it? I mean, the culture in America basically says, I want to do whatever I want to based on what my emotions and my passions and my desires are. I mean, granted, sometimes we might mix in a little bit of logic, but the world we live in, it's basically led by what we want, what we feel like, what we're passionate for. And those attitudes have actually caused us to end up in probably one of the least committed, I guess you'd say, cultures that we've ever had. I mean, the philosophy is, if it feels good, do it. And as soon as it doesn't feel good anymore, well, get rid of it and find something else. We used to actually make fun of the fact, remember this back in middle school, where, you know, relationships, boyfriend, girlfriend, they'd last, what, maybe a week? Honestly, sometimes they'd even last a day. But what we're seeing is that lack of commitment based on emotions and desires has actually become the norm in our adult life as well. I mean, for example, most people now, I'm learning, they're skipping marriage. They don't get married anymore. They just live together. And why? Well, they do that for the reason that it's easier. And when, not if, things aren't fun anymore or things are not, you know, pleasurable anymore, then they make the decision to just end things. It's obviously much more simple. But see, the problem is those bad attitudes lead to bad choices. I mean, Samson was a man driven by lust. He wasn't willing to listen to anyone in regards to his choices. As a matter of fact, look what his parents do to try and stop this decision. In Judges chapter 14, verse 3, it says, but his father and mother said to him, is there not a woman among the daughters of our relatives or among all our people that you must go and take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she is right in my eyes. I mean, even his mom and dad point out to Samson, look, what you're doing is wrong. They knew that God had told them, do not marry anyone outside of your nation. You could read that later in Deuteronomy chapter 9. Now, does that mean that God was racist? No, God wasn't racist. God knew that other nations served other gods. So if you married someone outside your nation, there would be pressure and the temptation for you to begin to serve someone other than the one true God. But Samson wouldn't listen. He demanded that she become his wife. No direction from God, no listening to godly counsel, but instead he allowed lust to lead his life. Remember his words? His words were, "She is right in my eyes." Basically, I like what I see. And honestly, I don't care if it's a bad decision. I don't care. I like what I see and I want it now. No, God hasn't even asked. But see, we can combat that attitude of lust. Instead of having an I want it attitude, we can have an attitude that says, I want God. See, if Samson, instead of hanging out in a place that he had no business hanging out in, instead of allowing his decisions to be based on emotions and feelings and desires, if he had instead placed his hope and trust in God, he could have avoided so many poor choices in his life. See, when we make the decision to do that rather than trust what God wants for us, that's what we're saying then. We're saying, we don't trust you, God. What we're saying is, I don't trust the fact that you're going to give me what I need. What we're really saying is, God, I don't trust that you're going to give me what I want that will make me happy. But what we are showing is that we may say that, God, we love you more than anything. But the truth is, that isn't true. That's a lie. The facts are, is that we love ourselves more than we love God. I mean, think about it this way. How many people call themselves Christians, but they live this way in their life? They only say they serve God in their words, but they don't do that in their actions. Because as soon as God asks them to do anything hard, they ignore him. Or they just plain old refuse. I mean, they only say they follow God because they want to stay out of hell. I mean, they really just want to go to heaven someday. I mean, that's really not a hard decision, right? Do I want to go to hell or do I want to go to heaven? Well, I want to go to heaven. So, yeah, of course I'll follow God because that just seems better to do. I mean, but the truth is they really just want to live a blessed life. The truth is that they just want to be freed from the guilt of sin. I mean, they want to have a safety net for when times of trouble come. But see, when anything happens in life that we just don't like or that we don't want, well, what do? Well, we get mad at God. And then we, you know, decide to do things the way that we want to do. We may even leave him. Because that's just how lust drives us. It drives us to the things that we want. Think about it this way. Have we seen this even in our marriages today? That's why many of them end in divorce, because the reality is we didn't marry people for love, which is based on commitment. We married people based on lust, which is what can I get out of it? See, but when our attitude is, I want God, that changes everything. See, then we know we're all in. I mean, honestly, we follow God based on how much that we love him. We live life with a desire to make God happy because we know that when God's happy, he actually looks to bless and take care of us. But see, if you watch though, when Samson is driven by lust, that attitude barrel rolls into his decisions, and it barrel rolls into other bad attitudes as well. Let's continue in verse 5. It says, "Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah. And they came through the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came toward him roaring. Then the spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. And then he went down and talked with the woman. And she was right in Samson's eyes." I mean, again, this is the story of a hero, right? I mean, think about it. To have this type of strength inside you, to have the Holy Spirit available to direct and guide you, you could see how God could use Samson to deliver his people. I mean, look, this is a mighty warrior here. This is one who has the strength to just do insanely incredible things. In your mind, we could see him freeing his people from slavery. But instead, we see Samson here. He's attacked by a lion. And he grabs the lion and literally rips it apart with his bare hands. And that isn't important enough to actually even mention it to your mom and dad? No. Why? Because he's so focused on a Philistine woman who was right in his eyes. But see, what should have been a real confidence boost to him, right? What should have been something inside him that said, wow, God's with me. Wow, I can accomplish anything that God asks me to do. Instead, God is forced to use Samson in an unwilling way, not a willing one. Let me read verse 4 for you. It says, his father and mother did not know that it was from the Lord, for he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines ruled over Israel. See, what this looks like to me is that God quickly saw what was inside of Samson. This was a man who was driven by lust. And so you know what? The only way that I'm going to be able to use this man is to use him in an unwilling way. I need to basically take an unwilling participant and accomplish my purpose through him, in spite of him. Verse 8, it says, after some days, he returned to take her. This is the woman. He turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion, and honey. He scraped it out onto his hand and went on, eating as he went. And he came to his father and mother and gave some to them, and they ate. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of the lion. Now this leads us to the next attitude that Samson had that made him an unwilling servant. That attitude is entitlement. Now, entitlement is defined as to believe you have a right to certain benefits or privileges. It means to be spoiled. Basically, what you're saying is, I deserve it. I mean, think about this. Samson is on his way back to see the woman that he wants to be his wife. He sees in front of him as he's walking on this basically 3-mile journey, he finds the lion that he killed however long ago that was. And in almost like miracle fashion, inside of that lion, basically bees have decided to build a home. They've been there long enough where they've actually built a honeycomb, and it's full of honey. So without even giving it a second thought, Samson basically walks over, scoops down, grabs some honey, and decides to eat it on the way. Now, I mean, if you really just kind of look at it at face value, it just kind of sounds like a kind of a cool footnote, right? You know, I mean, he killed the lion and now he walks by a second time and, a snack. But see, there's one problem with this, right? Samson's a Nazirite. Remember what we talked about last week? What were one of the 3 rules? You're not allowed to touch anything dead. And so what does he do? He actually, in a matter of seconds, he breaks a vow that he had dedicated his entire life to following. But the more I thought about it, do you think that this was the first time that Samson ever did it? I mean, look, I'm sure he was hungry, 3-mile journey, walking to, you know, to where he's going to, you know, get his wife to be. Or maybe Samson just had a sweet tooth, right? And, you know, for whatever reason, honey was just a really tempting treat to him. But I mean, can you imagine someone, you know, so quickly dismissing a lifetime vow over just a little bit of candy? I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, but if you think about it, in his mind, well, I deserve it. I mean, I worked for it. I mean, look, I killed the lion. I mean, I literally ripped it apart. I mean, obviously this must be God rewarding me, right? I mean, think about that though. How many different lies do we kind of say to ourselves, you know, in order for us to justify or to make us feel okay with some of the things that we want to do or that we feel we deserve or that we earn. I mean, look, because God loves me, right? I mean, we read scriptures that God came to give us life and live it to the full. We can make it sound pretty spiritual, right? You know, I mean, all right, it may not have been the best way. I mean, I probably could have approached it different, but look, God understands. I mean, God's going to forgive me. I mean, look, it was just once. You know, it's like the guy who says, well, all right, so I stole some office supplies. I mean, look, have you been to my company? I've been there for 30 years. Have you seen where they store all their office supplies? They're not even going to miss it. They're not even going to know that anything was missing. And it was just once, you know, or that one innocent, all right, so it was one innocent date. Actually, it really wasn't even a date. It was more of a meeting. And really, the more I think about it, it really wasn't even a meeting. It was just a cup of coffee. It only happened once. Nothing happened. We just talked. We were only talking. My wife will never know. I mean, and all right, it was just one drink. I mean, all right, you're right. I did tell God that, you know, I was giving up drinking. But look, I've been under a lot of stress. And look, it only happened once. I mean, God will understand. It's not really that big of a deal. I mean, we all could probably come up with lots of different examples of times that we did something because we felt like we deserved it. We earned it. I mean, we had gotten away with it before, and it really didn't seem like there were major consequences, and so we did it again. And that's what we see happens in the life of Samson. See, he breaks his vow with no remorse. And he just kind of pretends like nothing happened. I mean, is that what happens to us? I mean, we make a promise to God and either lust or we feel entitled and we willingly disobey. We may even feel a little guilty. Honestly, what I'm learning is oftentimes we don't. I mean, we don't really see any major consequences, and so we feel empowered and we do it again. I mean, how many marriages end up being destroyed because of these attitudes? How many jobs are lost? How many futures are destroyed? I mean, how many people who think they're Christians, but in reality, they're really just following themselves? And the truth is they're really fooling themselves. But see, we can combat the attitude of entitlement. We can. Instead of having an I deserve it attitude, we can remember that we deserve death. See, if Samson realized it was the grace of God that saved him from that lion, he was attacked by a lion. He was unarmed. It was the power of God that came inside of him that allowed him to literally rip apart with his bare hands the lion. And when he saw that corpse, you know, with the honey inside, what really should have been an altar of thanks to God who saved his life, instead, Samson turned it into a table of entitlement. See, what should have been a place of worship to give thanks to the God who loved him so much to literally save his life, instead it became an altar to himself. And he quickly broke what was supposed to be a lifetime vow of purity and separation to God. Samson should have realized he deserved death. The lion should have killed him. But God gave him life. And if you think about it, that's what we've been given, right? Jesus literally died on the cross as a payment for the penalty of our sin. We deserve death. That's what we deserve. But God loved us so much that he gave us life. I mean, can you imagine what Samson's life could look like at this point? I mean, if he had just prayed to God, listened to what God asked him to do, and did exactly what God told him to do. I mean, can you picture A man with his enormous strength being directed, stirred by the Holy Spirit in his life. I mean, Samson versus Goliath, that's a total mismatch. He doesn't need any smooth stones. Literally would break him in half with his bare hands. But see, what we're going to see is this story just becomes sadder and sadder as we see how his bad attitudes lead to even worse choices. Verse 10, his father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, for so the young men used to do. As soon as the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. Now, to most, these verses probably don't mean a lot. I mean, what we see here is dad goes down and basically is going to seal the deal with the marriage. He's probably dealing with the father to make sure that dowry or whatever is paid in order for Samson to take this woman to be his wife. And Samson decides, oh, I'm going to plan my bachelor party. And so he does this for his newly found Philistine friends. But let me really describe to you what this feast was. See, this was a drinking feast. We read back in, verse 5 that talked about the vineyards of Timnah? Well, see, if Samson hadn't already broke his vow of drinking, remember, nothing from the grapevine, not even grape juice, not even grapes themselves. If he hadn't already did it, he's sure putting himself in the perfect situation to do that. I mean, when you're led by lust, which is what? Passion and emotion. And when you're led by entitlement, which means I deserve it, I earn it, what you'll see is there's a third attitude that begins to show its ugly face. And that leads us to the last attitude that Samson had that made him a very unwilling servant. To that attitude's pride. Pride is defined as confidence and satisfaction from one's own achievements. It's really just another way of saying, I can handle it. I mean, I got this. I mean, why would you put yourself in the middle of what you are called to avoid for the rest of your life? Why would you put yourself in a feast where all they're doing is drinking in the middle of a vineyard? Well, pride. Because I got this. I mean, well, look, if I can rip apart a line with my bare hand, something tells me I'll be strong enough to say no to drinking. I mean, let's be honest. How many people have fallen really hard because of pride? Because they believe they're strong enough. But all it takes is one drink, one kiss, one look, one compromise, and that vow is broken. Everything that you worked so hard to build can come crashing down with the attitude of pride. But thankfully, we can combat the attitude of pride, where we can change the attitude of, I can handle it. We transform that into, I can't handle anything without God. And to be honest, why would you even want to try? I mean, what you'll see in the life of Samson is that all of his strength that comes from God, all really Samson controls is when to use that strength. And we don't ever see him going to God and asking God when he should. None of those decisions are based on God's direction. And we'll actually see as Samson grows and continues down this life journey that he gets more and more confidence in himself. And he forgets where his strength's source is from. He forgets God. But the truth is, we're nothing without God. Everything that we have comes from him. He has given us life. He's given us strength. He's given us wisdom. He's given us the opportunities. Everything that you can think of, it's all come from God. And were it not for God, we would be a mess. And as you're going to see in Samson's life, his life quickly turns into a mess. See, when we forget that and we live our life based on what we want, believing that we're strong enough, we're smart enough, we're good enough, that God, you know what he's going to do? He'll let you do it. And then he'll let you live with the consequences of what you did. See, it would be wise instead to depend on God's strength. Because not only will it stop you from failing, but in the same time, you're giving God the glory from where really everything that we have comes from anyway. If you read through the rest of the book of Judges, I don't have time this morning, if you read through the rest of chapter 14 today, what you'll see is Samson decides to try to get rich. He does it by gambling. He uses a riddle. But unfortunately, his new bride, she gets threatened by some men who basically say, if you don't tell us the answer to the riddle, we're going to kill you and we're going to kill your father. So she betrays Samson. Well, Samson doesn't like that. So in anger, he goes out and he murders 30 men, steals all their possessions. And then what he does is he leaves his wife and goes home to live with his father again. See, while he's gone too, is Samson's wife, and he doesn't even know this. His wife is given to his best man. When we don't follow God's plan, and we do it willingly, God instead will use us anyway. What Samson begins to realize, well, actually, I don't even know if he ever does begin to realize, is Samson becomes an unwilling person in God's plan. He will help free his people from slavery, just not willingly. So let me leave you today with the fact that bad attitudes lead to bad choices, which will lead to big consequences. So number one, when we're led by lust, we're led by our desires. We're led by our passions. They're what make the decisions for us. Instead, we want to turn our "I want it" attitude into an "I want God." See, when we run after God, that's how we find true happiness. And number two, when we're led by entitlement, which means we make decisions based on what we feel we deserve, what we've earned. Well, the reality is, we deserve death. Just like Samson. Samson deserved to die when that lion attacked, but God saved him. And what's happened to us? We deserve death, but Jesus came, died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin. We don't want what we deserve. So instead, in thanksgiving, we instead place our faith and trust in God. Finally, when we're led by pride, we will make decisions based on our own strength, our own wisdom, our own goodness. It's a quick way to fail. Instead, what we do is we take our "I can handle it" attitude and we remind ourselves the reality is, I can't handle anything without God. See, if when we have that, God gets the glory and it stops us from so many poor decisions. As we continue down the life of Samson, you'll see those three attitudes caused major bad choices, which led to major consequences, not only for him, but for all those around him. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm sure this morning that we've seen some of Samson in us. And to be honest, we don't like it. We don't want to live a life based on emotion. We want to live a life based on God direction. Because God, when we follow what we want, we might get it, but when we follow what you want, we will get it. So God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us remember that when we seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, then all those things will be added. God, when we learn to stop living life based on what we feel we earn or what we deserve, and instead, we learn and remember the fact that we deserve death, it will change how we live. Instead of living life for ourselves, we will live our life based on what you have done, just in thanksgiving for all the sacrifices that you've made. And God, for us, Lord, that have been living a life of pride, living and making decisions based on our strength, our wisdom, our goodness, when in reality, there's nothing we can do without you. That strength that Samson had came from you. The wisdom, strength, talents, everything that we had, it's come from you. And God, when we don't follow you, we're seeking the glory for it. So God, I pray, Lord, that we would remember that everything good and perfect comes from you. So God, this morning, help us to remember that you are our God. God, we want to be willing participants in your plan. We don't want to end up like Samson, who unwillingly accomplishes your purpose. So God, help us to see that. Lord, bless my family wherever they may be today. Let them feel your power and your presence. Let them feel your love. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.